interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWP Radio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vampides.
Yo, what is up, everybody, and welcome to episode number 7 of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. I am coming to you live from the one and only Jersey Shore right here in New Jersey. I'm the owner and operator of ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. My name is Jay Aleto, and we will be joined just momentarily by our co-host, Will TLD Vasquez. But I just want to get something out there real quick and give you a couple of plugs. First of all, make sure to visit ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com for all of your professional wrestling needs, from reading original articles to listening to all the episodes of PWP Radio and SmackDown Rundown, watching weekly episodes of Titus TV by Ring of Honor star Rhett Titus, and much, much more. You can find all that and more at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Also, remember that this show is absolutely free to fans all over the world, and we appreciate you listening each and every week, whether it's live right here on BlogTalkRadio.com or on iTunes. You need to go to iTunes, download the show, just press that subscribe button, and it will go automatically to your computer, or you can listen to it wherever you want. Give us a 5-star rating, comment on it. We would really appreciate that. But the best way to support the show is to spread the word. Definitely get on Facebook, on Twitter. We have a community out there with a lot of other passionate wrestling fans that love to talk wrestling all day, every day. So definitely get out there and do your best. And also, you could support with a little extra cash that you may or may not have by shopping in our Amazon store on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. You could buy pretty much whatever you want at the Amazon store. You can also buy pay-per-views through our World Wrestling Network link that you could find on the sidebar. And there are much more things you can do to support us. So please continue to support PWP Radio. We are here each and every week. But without further ado, I am going to kick it over to the man with the master plan. He is Will TLD Vasquez. Will, how are you doing tonight, man?
I am doing wonderful this evening. Thank you very much, Jay, for the wonderful welcome. I have to tell you, though, right now, I have to shout out a plug, because right now I'm having this awesome cake for my mother's birthday. It's a coconut cake with, like, chocolate. You know, I would feed it right to your mouth if you really want some one day.
It sounds absolutely delicious. I would love to have a little bit of your mother's cake.
Wow, okay, I didn't say it like that, but that's the way you want to interpret it. That's perfectly fine, but I do want to plug that TLDWrestling.com is a free website. That's right, you can go there right now. But one other website I want to plug, a lot of people have been asking me, you know, you're a pro wrestler, but I don't see any videos. Well, they're up there, but they're also at PerfectFord.com. That's where we have our weekly show that we do, so I'm involved with that. So if you want to check out any videos of me currently, we do a YouTube show online. We don't do it, in front of the public. We do it online. So if you want to check it out, you can go to PerfectFord.com. And you can see every video and all the different videos we've done this season. And it's every month or every couple of weeks we do a show up there. So check it out if you want.
All right, yes, that's PerfectFord.com. Definitely go visit that website. Right now I want to make a little bit of a
cake.
Yeah, and the cake. Yeah, we got to get this cake. I need to have some. But right now, I just want to make a little bit of an announcement before we get going into Monday Night Raw, last night's episode with almost a record low rating for Raw. But I want to make an announcement. We are doing something right here on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We want to make the definitive top 20 wrestlers of all time list. Now, these lists put out by WWE.com constantly bother me because they're so biased. They're only based on one asshole writer, or maybe even Vince McMahon himself having, some kind of ego trip and leaving guys out and ranking Hulk Hogan at 23 in the top 50 or whatever it is. So what I'm trying to do is get as many lists as possible. I want to know your 1 through 20, including you, Will, and everybody listening. Just an announcement right now. Email your list to prowrestlingpowerhouse@gmail.com. Email your list, and I will publish it not only on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, but on our community page, our community page, and we will, as the weeks go on, continue to get these lists and figure out exactly who PWP's top 20 wrestlers of all time are. So Will and I will also go ahead, Will.
I would say a really good idea is if we ever wanted to, we can compile this list over a couple of weeks, so we can announce how many people, you know, and we can try to analyze our opinion, plus, you know, what people have said. You know, it's good to hear that. And people like to hear, you know, what the whole community of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse thinks, that maybe one day we could do a special tribute show to that and see what you fans think. And remember, it's always an opinion. You know, it's always going to be one writer. It's not going to be a multiple of 50 or 100 writers. This is the real opportunity where you fans can actually send your list in. We'll get a community vote out of this, and we'll find out.
Exactly. I've already compiled a few lists from our listeners that are sitting in my mailbox right now, and we're going to start next week. Will and I are going to give you number 20 on our personal lists, but as these lists roll in, I'm going to compile the definitive top 20. Basically, what's going to happen is every number one vote, everybody who gets that number one slot, whether it's Hogan, Flair, Shawn Michaels, whoever, will get 20 points. It'll go down that way until one. So if you rank somebody at number 20, they will get 1 point. You do the averages that way, and you figure out exactly who the top 20 is. So email those lists, compile them, think about it, send it to prowrestlingpowerhouse@gmail.com, and we'll get the ball rolling on this. It's going to take a few weeks, but we will compile the top 20 wrestlers of all time.
This is a moment now here on October 2nd of 2012. We just announced a huge top 20 list of all the wrestlers of all time. This could take a couple hours for me.
Yeah, this is going to be great. I haven't even started mine yet. I have an idea, but what I'm going to do basically, just to give you an idea of what's going to happen in my mind, is I'm just going to write down a bunch of wrestlers' names, and then I'm going to have to somehow figure out how to rank them. I have my own personal way of doing it. Some other people might have their personal way. They might like Japan wrestling for Japan or England or anywhere else in the world. They might take microphone skills and charisma over work rate and championships. It doesn't really matter. It's up to you. It's your opinion. You're going to have your voice heard right here on PWP Radio, and it's going to hopefully start next week. We're going to try to get the ball rolling, depending on how many lists we get next week here live on the show. So right now, we're going to get going with WWE Monday Night Raw last night. As I said, Will, this was almost a record low rating for Raw. They only drew, I believe, a 2.5, which is alarming in my opinion. However, there was a gigantic Monday Night Football game between the Dallas Cowboys and the Chicago Bears. That's two gigantic markets. Yeah, it's two big markets, two big WWE towns that probably were not tuning in live. So this could have affected the rating, because I thought the show was pretty solid. What do you think, Will?
Yeah, overall, the show I thought was pretty good. Again, they do have a very nice flow to them. There's some ups and downs. There's been worse shows that we've seen that we could say that are not really that, you know, that great. And, you know, this one's good. You know, I think that it's football season now, and the ratings are going to be affected by it. And WWE probably already knew that this show was not going to be huge, not to mention John Cena was not on the show. So I don't know if it's something to do with it or not. It could. But, you know, that's the one thing I'm taking away from it, is that maybe it was just, you know, football and on top of John Cena not being there.
That definitely has something to do with it. There's no doubt in my mind John Cena is easily the number one star. And later on I want to follow up on what we talked about last week with this John Cena and the Rise Above Cancer and the Susan G. Komen for the Cure. It's controversial. I've been seeing it all over Facebook, and we'll talk about it a little later on tonight. But right now, let's get into the first segment of Monday Night Raw. We had CM Punk and Paul Heyman going to the ring and demanding an apology from AJ Lee. This turned into a lot of wrestlers, a lot of personalities in one ring at the same time, and it was damn entertaining in my opinion. I loved it. It was one of the better kickoffs to Raw that we've had in a while. Daniel Bryan and Kane continued to show their charisma with Team Hell No. What do you think about the opening segment of Monday Night Raw, Will?
Well, what was good about it is that it sets up the main event, and I like shows that do that. I like shows that, you know, you're setting up the main event match, you know, for the final, you know, segment of the show. And that's what you should do all the time. And I feel wrestling shows have always done that, and there's times where they forget. And that hasn't been recently, but I do like how they set up the main event for the evening. And it put the tag team titles at the same level as the WWE Championship. So that's the biggest thing I got out of that.
The tag team championships definitely are becoming to be elevated, which a lot of people have been calling for a long, long time, and it's actually happening. So I want all those people, all those marks, all those smarks that think they know fucking everything about professional wrestling and how it should be booked to give WWE some credit, because now they're answering the call. They pay attention to what's going on, and having the tag team champions in the main event with the WWE champion is smart booking, man. It's really smart booking, and they built it up throughout the show.
Well, one thing about that, though, what the smart marks are coming up with is now, well, Daniel Bryan and Kane and I are real tag team. They're just two single guys that got put together, you know. I look at Edge and Christian kind of being put together, too, if you really think about it. I mean, Edge was a singles character before they were a tag team, you know. So there's a lot of tag teams that are great out there. Like you could say Big Show and Jericho were a great tag team. They were the last greatest tag team, I think, that we've had. And I think this has now beat that, and I love it. I'm still not a fan of the Team Hell No, but I do like the new T-shirt idea, you know. So I'm kind of getting on board with it, you know. But I did love the opening segment.
Yeah, I'm on the opposite side of the page. I love Team Hell No. I think Daniel Bryan and Kane are just brilliant together lately, and it shows in their bipolar type of ways that they're having their tag team matches, where one second they're hating each other, the next second they're actually working together as a team and on the same page. So, you know, it's going to eventually lead to some kind of breakup in a big match where I think Kane will turn heel and will finally get that Daniel Bryan face push that he deserves, because he's really gotten over on his own over the last few months. But anybody listening right now, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, we have lines open. Please call 760-888-5749 if you want to weigh in on what took place last night on Monday Night Raw. So moving right along, we had round one in the number one contenders to the World Tag Team Championship tournament. We were just talking about the World Tag Team Champions, Team Hell No. Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara defeated Primo and Epico, with the primetime players coming out on the stage to kind of watch the match, see what's going on. This was a solid match. First match on Raw, definitely solid. Great way to kick it off in the wrestling aspect of the show. And I was really impressed with Mysterio and Sin Cara actually having matching gear. I thought that was really fun. What did you think about this match, Will?
Yeah, I mean, again, they've had this match before, and it was great before, and I think it was great again, you know. The one thing that stood out was those awesome tag team outfits. You know, they got the nice red, white, and blue going, you know. It's like you can't hate that team. Like, it's so perfect, and it's like a perfect tag team. If there was a team to have the tag belts, you know, right now I could see four different teams with the tag team titles, and they're one of them. They get phenomenal idea of, you know, kind of putting Mysterio on the side and letting him help build the tag division, and it's a good idea. And, you know, Epico and Primo just don't have the standout character that, you know, the primetime players do or Rhodes Scholars do, you know. So I think this is a great start. And the tag tournament alone, when was the last time we had a tag team tournament?
Exactly. This adds to what we were just talking about, how the focus being back on the tag team titles. I don't remember the last tag team tournament. It was probably on SmackDown back in 2002,
The fans
right?
got to call us. Yeah, I think the fans got to call in, and if someone could find that out, or I can even look it up. I'll find out when the last tag team tournament was.
Yeah, it's definitely been a while, but it's great that the focus is back on it. The tag team tournament is refreshing. You have all the top tag teams. They're even adding tag teams to the division each and every week, so that is definitely refreshing. It's definitely awesome. But Mysterio and Sin Cara take this one and move on to the second round. And next match on the card, now this was impressive to me. I was absolutely shocked. Now, I've seen this guy show amazing feats of strength before, but Antonio Cesaro defeats Brodus Clay, and he hit his finisher, the neutralizer, nailed it on a 300-plus pound man. It was absolutely unbelievable. And I believe that WWE is starting to get behind Cesaro. They're starting to push him, and maybe this United States title is going to get a little more recognition. It's another thing that all you IWC marks are kind of against at this point. Mid-card titles don't mean anything. Well, this is the way you make them mean something. You have a guy like Cesaro, build his credibility and show his dominating strength and force. What do you think of this push that Antonio Cesaro is getting, Will?
You know, I don't know if it's so much a push. I think it's more like it looked like these two were going to have some sort of a feud. I think they kind of put the kibosh on that very quickly. I think they showed his dominance, which was good. And I think Cesaro picking him up was just, that just shows you the power that this guy has. They gave him, you know, a definite challenger, and he defeated him very, I would say, convincingly. So I would say all thumbs up on that. I just don't think, though, I think they just wanted to put the kibosh on that right now. And I don't know where the title's going. But they got plenty of weeks to build it up.
Well, do you think that Brodus Clay is going to start making his way down the card a bit?
No, I don't think nothing's going to affect Brodus Clay. He has the children who absolutely love him. And this doesn't hurt him. No one's gonna, he's not going to lose his stock. You know, I think Cesaro would have lost stock if he would have lost the match. So I think the right guy went over. He's the champion. If anything, I would say, you know, it doesn't really do anything to anybody. There's no real feud building up to it. I think they just kiboshed, you know, the idea of Brodus Clay versus Cesaro, and they are going to go in another direction with him.
But it definitely builds up Antonio Cesaro that he pretty much squashed Brodus Clay. And
right,
I think it's smart. It's a smart move for WWE to do that and then just have a dominant United States champion at this point. And hopefully build up another, like, solid wrestler to go against Cesaro, you know, because right now if you look at the baby faces in that mid-card, it kind of lacks. There isn't a lot of guys that you could really see having a five-star match. I would think Christian could be a guy, but we haven't seen him in months. I guess he's injured again. But we just have to wait and see on Antonio Cesaro. But it was an absolutely great feat of strength. Next match on the card, your Intercontinental Champion, The Miz, who I'm going to admit, I'm kind of a Miz hater, but he's been pretty damn entertaining lately. I like what he's been doing. I like Miz TV. I actually do. What he did with Sheamus on SmackDown was just an attempt for Sheamus to be funny like he is every single week. But The Miz really kind of helped that vibe there in the ring. And the show has potential. You know, there's been great wrestlers with shows year in and year out. Jericho, Edge, Rowdy Roddy Piper, Brutus the Barber, Beefcake. And a lot of great moments have happened on these shows. So The Miz beats Ryder. Simple, you know, non-title match. But what do you think this means for The Miz? Are they setting him up for a big Intercontinental Championship feud in the future?
You know, it sucks because I think if Ryder would have won, I would have seen that feud keep going. You know, but you know, Ryder got buried again. Now Miz has a new T-shirt though, that's for sure. Like that T-shirt, you should all buy it at WWEshop.com. Like you shouldn't buy anything else ever. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're doing. I think they have to figure out what they want to do with the Intercontinental title. I would have liked to have seen Ryder actually get that shot, even if he lost. But I don't know what they're doing right now. Right now, we really don't have a clue of where that's going. Same thing with the U.S. title. We just don't have an idea. They gave a belt to The Miz to have some credibility, but we also need to see what's actually going to happen with it. Like, there's nothing really being built yet.
Exactly. There's a pay-per-view coming up in a few weeks, Hell in a Cell, and hopefully they give him somebody to work with and they kind of focus on this title. Something that was interesting with The Miz, they did put him on the Survivor Series poster. I don't know how much that means or matters, but he's...
I think it means anything.
It probably doesn't, right. But at least WWE still sees him as a big enough star to put on the poster.
Well, people know who The Miz is. I think a lot of people know who Miz is more than they know CM Punk.
Ooh, I don't know about that. I mean, if you look at their Twitter followers.
Oh, I do.
I don't know.
Absolutely. I will do this tomorrow. In fact, I'm going to do this as a test. I'm going to go to work tomorrow. I'm going to ask people, do you know who CM Punk is and do you know who The Miz is? Because most people are going to say The Miz is from that reality show. And people are going to say CM Punk. They're like, who's CM Punk? I guarantee you, if you ask random 20 people, that's what you're going to get.
Well, especially people our age, you know, everybody remembers The Miz from the real world. But if you look on their Twitter followers, now I'm just going to give you this number. CM Punk has 1.3 million followers, over 1.3 million followers. The Miz only has 759,000. So that shows
remember,
you right there.
Who was a face and who was a heel?
No,
remember,
you're
CM
right.
I know I'm right. So, you know, CM Punk was a face, so of course they're going to follow him at the time. But also a lot of us smart wrestling fans who like the Attitude Era are going to follow him also. You know, and The Miz is a heel. He's always been a heel. So less people are going to follow him. You know, that's the honest truth. I mean, that's why. I don't think that means anything.
I'm still curious to see whether they will turn Miz babyface sometime in the future. I think that would be kind of interesting. Every great heel usually turns into the top babyface at some point in time, but I don't think it's any time in the near future. It's probably more or less in the distant future. So moving on from The Miz, we could talk about him this whole entire show, but we had this ridiculous World Heavyweight Championship debate next with Sheamus and the Big Show. Although I like the match, I like the fact that they're giving us something different. It might not be pretty, but this segment in my mind was just another way to make Sheamus be funny, and I really don't find him funny whatsoever. I mean, the guy works hard in the ring, that's obvious, but I don't find him the least bit hilarious. What do you think about this segment, Will?
Oh, I'm glad you didn't bury him like you do like all the other weeks. You actually were kind of nice this week. I'm proud of you.
Well, I don't think it's funny. I mean, the guy tries hard when he wrestles. It's obvious. I was actually listening to The Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana when he had William Regal on. And Regal straight up said, and I respect William Regal. He's a guy who obviously knows what he's talking about. He said that nobody works harder in WWE right now than Sheamus. Sheamus just constantly works on his craft. He's one of the few wrestlers that actually takes constructive criticism and tries to work on it. So hearing William Regal say that puts Sheamus in a little bit of a different light for me. I just don't think he's funny.
Well, I don't think he should be funny, and I've said that many times, that I don't think he's a hilarious character. I think that he should be, you know, he should be someone that would defend, you know, like kids when, like, you know, someone's talking down to them. But not someone that tries to be like buddy-buddy with them. You should be like a defender more than that. So I agree with that. And, you know, even Big Show shouldn't be funny either. This should just be two guys that just don't like each other and they just want to fight. This is the first time these two are going to fight. So to me, I want to watch Hell in a Cell just to see this match because these two have never fought. If this was built right to WrestleMania, I could see this being the World Heavyweight title match because I think that's how good this match will be between these two guys.
Now, this isn't clear to me. I'm going to admit right now, I did not watch all of SmackDown, so I missed what's going on with the Big Show versus Randy Orton. But is this going to be a Hell in a Cell match, Will?
I don't think they said the actual. I think they're going to save the only Hell in a Cell match for CM Punk versus John Cena. I don't know if they're putting this in a Hell in a Cell. I think they have to wait to see what's going on with Cena. I think they got to wait and see what that's going to be like. Because I don't think they're going to, if they have to go Ryback and CM Punk, I don't think that's going to be in a Hell in a Cell. And I think Big Show and Sheamus will be. That'll have to be the main event. You know, I'm not sure. I think they're at a state right now where they got to figure out what John Cena, it's all about John Cena. It really is. Because we have to wait and see what his condition is going to be for this match. You know, for they're pushing it. And they're pushing it. You have to be in the Hell in a Cell. I just don't know yet. I don't think they have actually stated that, though.
Yeah, I don't think they figured it out either. And I guess they're just playing it by ear. Like you said, it's all about Cena. And it's always all about Cena because he is the top guy in the company, whether you fuckers like it or not. So you mentioned Ryback. And the next match on the card, we had Ryback taking on Tensai Albert A-Train. And there was some controversy over this match because it's obvious that Albert decided to sandbag the living hell out of Ryback. Now, I watched this on SmackDown. I watched Ryback lift this massive man up on his shoulders, march around the fucking ring, and drop him. And if you watch the way they did the spot on SmackDown, you can see that Tensai gave him a lot of help, which you need to do it. It's professional wrestling. Be a fucking professional. If you watch what happened on Raw, Tensai did not give Ryback any help whatsoever. You saw his knee bend, of course. That's his Ryback fucking motion down to try to, you know, lift him with his legs. But Tensai didn't jump. Tensai just fucking was dead weight, and that's a load of bullshit. Will, I know you saw it. What do you think about this?
Well, if you watch on SmackDown, they had the same match. I don't know if you know that.
No, I did. I watched it. Yeah, it was the exact same match. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, well, here's my problem with it. Why would you have the same match without any build? Like, if Tensai sort of came out and said, "I want to fight Ryback again because he beat me on SmackDown," that's one thing. But to have it like for no reason, that was kind of dumb. I didn't understand that. I thought that was a little weird to have no build-up for that squash. And yeah, it came off wrong, and it makes Ryback look bad. I mean, I don't know who to blame on it, but personally, I don't even think the match should have even occurred. It already happened on SmackDown. He should have not even wrestled. I think the fact that if he just came out and did that one segment, that would have been fine enough.
It's more or less WWE trying to fill this three-hour show. But in my mind, I think there's something deeper going on here. There was reports. Now, I don't believe everything I read on these dirt sheet sites because a lot of it is bullshit. But there were reports that Triple H does not believe in the Ryback push, that Vince McMahon is pushing him regardless of what people tell Vince. And I think maybe Ryback was set up to fail right here because it's obvious that Albert just sandbagged the living shit out of him, and it was definitely unprofessional. And we'll have to see what happens if there's any kind of ramifications. I kind of doubt it. I think it's going to be brushed under the rug because there's a bigger story for Ryback, which we're about to get to. But he definitely got sandbagged. You're right. The match probably shouldn't have happened. But I think they were trying to showcase this massive show of strength once again on Raw to show a bigger crowd, a live audience, what Ryback can do. And Tensai literally just fucked it up for him. And don't tell me that it's more difficult to pick up two guys, because if you lift weights or you know anything about weightlifting, you can usually lift more with one bar and weight on each side than with two dumbbells. So, you know, Tensai is just a big, massive man, over 300 pounds, and he didn't fucking help Ryback whatsoever, so this is bullshit. And I could talk about it all night because it really pissed me off, but moving on. Eve defeats Beth Phoenix. We had a little more build up with the story with Caitlin and her ankle injury. We had a backstage segment with AJ and showing her craziness. But Eve defeats Beth, and rumors are circulating that Beth is on her way out of WWE. And I don't know if anybody saw this. You probably did, maybe not. There was a fantastic women's match or Divas match on SmackDown between Beth Phoenix and Natalya. It might be the best Divas match I've ever seen as far as story, build, and just outright, you know, physicalness. They really beat the hell out of each other. And Eve just comes back and beats Beth. What do you think about this, Will? Do you think Beth Phoenix is actually leaving WWE at this point?
Yeah, I do. I think she is on her way out. I think even CM Punk even mentioned something at Comic-Con about that also. So I truly do think that this is going to be the end. So I think, she's not happy, obviously. It's not going the right way. And, Eve is the top girl right now. You know, but they do need to build up another Beth Phoenix. They have to find another one of those, that's for sure.
And it could be Natalya Neidhart. She's absolutely fantastic in the ring. Yes, and she could be that new dominant, strong diva that division needs.
The problem is she's been there a little too long, and I don't think it's going to be convincing enough to where it's going to be, we could definitely believe it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So moving right along here, Santino Morello defeats Heath Slater by disqualification. This confused the living shit out of me, this whole angle does, with Heath Slater forming the band gimmick with Jinder Mahal and Drew McIntyre. And I'm watching this, and I'm perplexed now. I'm in a loss of words. I'll tell you the only part I liked was when Drew McIntyre started headbanging, heading into the next segment or commercial break. He was headbanging and looked like he was absolutely insane. And a lot of people didn't notice this. So what do you think about this little stable started by Heath Slater?
I love it. If you really think about it, these are three guys that get squashed all the time, and they're just kind of banding together, and they're trying to make a point. They did it on Brodus Clay, I think, a couple weeks ago, too, so if they keep doing this, I could see this band actually getting some heat. You know, if they did on Monday night, I think they did a great job. You know, I thought why not do it on, you know, someone like, you know, Santino or someone like Rose Clay, where people like them a lot. These are three guys that are not really used well, and they want to be used, and they're kind of banding together to be noticed, and that's really what they're doing. I think it's funny. I like it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't really see how they intertwine together to make a band. It's just kind
of... No, that's what makes it even funny. That's why I think it's funny, because I think they don't have... They have three different gimmicks that have nothing to do with each other, but they're just kind of getting together because they're tired of, like, you know, being treated like crap. So that's really kind of what they're doing.
Well,
they have nothing in common at all.
I'm calling it Job Squad 2012 until
that's fine, but the Job Squad, how over was the Job Squad?
They were over, but as it was a bunch of jobbers that had nothing in common, that, you know, and it was lucky it happened in 1998 because that's when, you know, wrestling was at almost its peak in ratings. But right now, I mean, I don't really see this getting over or going anywhere. But
I will guarantee you at Survivor Series, they will be over by then.
Do you think they add more members to the band?
No.
I'd add Kurt Hawkins. I'd take Kurt Hawkins and
that
maybe
would be
Michael.
That guy would be fine. Yeah, I would like
Michael McGillicuddy. There's a lot of guys that are kind of just in this lower card that haven't been seen. Like, we don't want to do Nexus again, but you could add to this band. You could make these guys, like, kind of a force if you added some members. So, you know, just talking about it is actually making me a little more, you know, keen to the idea. I kind of like it a little better now.
Because I convince people to like things. That's how powerful the TLDism is.
The TLDism, that's a new one. We have to trademark that right away. Next on the card. Your favorite World Heavyweight Champion of all time, Sheamus and Damian Sandow, went to battle. I'm a fan of Damian Sandow. I'm liking what he's bringing to the table. He looks like a superstar that's been on Raw for a long, long time, although it's only been a few months. But this match was another way to just make Sheamus look dominant. But we also got to see Sandow be able to hang with the world champ here. And I think the story really is more Damian Sandow than Sheamus in this match. What are your thoughts of Damian Sandow? He did take his first pinfall loss in a WWE ring, but what are your thoughts on this push? I mean, I know Rhodes Scholar's going on, but he also has a lot of potential in singles. Thoughts on Sandow?
I like it. I think it was great that he was able to have that world heavyweight, you know, contender match. And, you know, even though he's in a tag team right now, Sandow could be on his own. Even Rhodes could be on his own. I thought Rhodes was good on commentary, too, when he was on it. You know, I liked it. I really did enjoy the show. I mean, it got a lot of praise from wrestling. I could tell a lot of people really enjoyed it. And people said it was the best match on Raw. So how can you argue that, you know, and Sheamus has done that a lot. He does give a lot of great matches in, even though you completely hate him.
I'm starting to get a little more fond of him. I just don't like him as World Heavyweight Champion. It's been going on for too long. His feud with Del Rio was weak, and he's the type of guy, as champion, he needs to make that feud more interesting and better for the fans to enjoy. But the overall sentiment on the feud was that it sucked. But I don't think he's funny. That's my main beef with Sheamus. He did try his ass off. Like, I even commented to my friend last night that he was just sweating his ass off as his match went on, because you could tell he was working extremely hard. And that's a bright spot to Sheamus. I'll give him that. So Sheamus defeats Sandow. And next, this is going to be something we'll probably talk about for a little while. We have the Jim Ross Appreciation Night, and it was predictable, but of course, CM Punk makes his way to the ring. First, he praises Jim Ross for being the greatest of all time, the best in the world at what he does. But Jim Ross didn't really give him the benefit of the doubt. It was another way of CM Punk to try to get validation from a legend in the wrestling business. This angle continues to go on and on. It's kind of like its own angle. It's not really the John Cena feud, but it's something to keep Punk busy with. You know, John Cena's involved with it, you know, because they keep saying, you know, fight John Cena at Hell in a Cell. But it's more around this respect issue. So, I thought the most interesting part of it was the involvement of Stone Cold Steve Austin and Trash Talking Austin, which has gone on subtly week after week, and it seems to be boiling up right now. So let's hear your thoughts on this one, TLD.
Yeah, I mean, I knew Stone Cold wasn't there, and plus he had that leg injury, so I knew he wasn't going to be there. But, you know, there's nothing you can say wrong about JR. They didn't bury him this time, which was good. They really, I mean, Ciampa didn't really bury him, you know, like we've seen Jim Ross be buried in the past. But this was good because Jim Ross had a lot of great points made, especially the points about WrestleMania, you know, those headliners. And CM Punk has never been a headliner at WrestleMania. He's never been the main event. And those guys he mentioned were. And you got to think of that as like a point where, again, he's making that point where if you don't beat John Cena, you'll never be that main event guy. You know, and it puts so much importance on CM Punk defeating John Cena. And until he does, CM Punk will never be the top guy because I honestly think he will because he's got to face The Rock. And until he beats John Cena, now then he'll have to face The Rock. So I love the fact they're putting so much emphasis because they're putting, like, the heel will never prove himself until he beats the face. You know, and it's just an easy, you know, classic 101 wrestling storyline.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like the Ultimate Warrior would have never been number one unless he beat Hulk Hogan. He could beat every wrestler in a gauntlet match, but if he didn't beat Hulk Hogan, he would never be the top guy. And that's where I kind of relate this to in a way, except obviously CM Punk's a heel.
Yeah, it's a passing of the torch type of thing. And I've said this a lot, that Jim Ross knows so much about the wrestling business and psychology, and he's a big reason why, you know, WWE thrived in the early 2000s and late 90s because of his knowledge in wrestling. And I feel like if there's anybody who knows near as much as Vince McMahon does, it's Jim Ross. And he showed it by getting this angle even more over with his hometown crowd. But then at the end, Jim Ross was forced to walk away from the ring with his head down in shame, and we heard that music, "Feed Me More." Ryback made his way out, and we continued the story from last week, the intrigue. It answered not so many questions. It answered maybe a little question. Maybe Ryback is actually gunning for Punk, because I thought there was the possibility that he could be aligning with Punk. But it looks like he's gunning for him at this point, and it's obviously a fallback plan on whether or not John Cena can compete at Hell in a Cell. But I do think it's great that this is kind of boiling slowly. What do you think about this one, Will?
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously that Ryback was going to come out at some point. And he came out. He told Jim Ross to come with him and come back to the ring. You know, Jim Ross stands tall, and the man who said, "Be a coward and walk out," is now going to be the coward and walk away. You know, very good. No words, just looking at him. And obviously CM Punk looking like he was scared to death. You know, and nothing was done. But did you hear the crowd? The crowd went nuts for him. You know, this proves that Ryback is the real deal. You know, I don't care if anybody doesn't like him getting pushed. The crowd wants it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There was no Goldberg chance. There was none of that bullshit. They believe in Ryback. They really
do. It's falling away. It's truly going away. It's going to be the point now where they're not going to think about that. Because the moment he takes his first loss, then the whole Goldberg thing should be done with. No one should be doing anything. So, you know, let's give this a shot. And it's working because fans are liking it.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, folks, if you'd like to call in and talk about Monday Night Raw, 760-888-5749. Call in, talk to us, ask a question. Ryback, CM Punk, what's going to happen in the future? We really don't know. It's very intriguing. There's a lot of different avenues they can go down. Will this match happen sooner or later? We just don't know. We know it's going to happen, but when? You know what? We don't know. And that's what's great about WWE. It's very unpredictable at times, and this is one of those moments. So next match we had on the card, Alberto Del Rio defeats Kofi Kingston. I feel like Alberto Del Rio has beat Kofi Kingston in his career probably 100 times. It was nothing different. These guys have wrestled a bunch of times. Kofi, you know, he's involved with this tag team with R-Truth, but he doesn't seem to be able to break that glass ceiling. I don't know if it's his character, but he's damn athletic. He can definitely
I'm going to answer the question right now, and for all you fans who want to know about this. But I noticed something on WWE.com exclusive was they mentioned Kofi was there. And, you know, you've seen the last few weeks where Kofi's been kind of mad about the whole little Jimmy thing. I think this is going to lead up to Kofi going heel.
You might be correct. I mean, I know
I told you, anything I say, I'm right. He is going to go heel, and they have to because he's like, okay, now, he's getting the idea now. He's not winning. He lost the tag belt, and this little Jimmy thing is kind of like annoying him in a way, and he's just going to snap, you know, and he's going to turn on everybody. And you know what? A heel Kofi, you know, even though we need a lot of faces right now, but I think a heel Kofi is needed. I think people would buy into it. You know, so, but we'll see. I mean, or it's either going to be R-Truth turning on him, which I think would make a little bit better sense. Kofi can get over it. People love him. You know, Kofi's just a great natural wrestler. You know, like Daniel Bryan was a heel, but yet he's turning into a face very easily. You know, it's kind of like that. So we'll see what happens. So
maybe if you turn Kofi heel, maybe he's a Paul Heyman guy. We don't know. He could easily align with Paul Heyman, and that could get him immediate heel heat. Immediately. You know, it seems like whatever Paul Heyman does, the people just absolutely hate it. But, you know, us as fans who we are, we remember Paul Heyman from his ECW days and all that stuff from 10, 15 years ago. So we'll love him no matter what. But the WWE audience doesn't like Paul Heyman. And if you added somebody who's a babyface right now, turn him heel, made him a Paul Heyman guy, that's automatic heel heat. So, hey, anything's possible. Alberto Del Rio seems to be heading into a feud with Randy Orton. What do you think about this? You think it's just going to be another mid-card feud at Hell in a Cell that a one-on-one match will take place? Or will they somehow find a way to incorporate it into Sheamus versus Big Show?
No, I think Alberto, he's got to be out of that picture. It's not, Alberto is not going to be involved in the championship match. They have to find something else for him.
And a feud with Randy
maybe
Orton.
Maybe SmackDown will answer it.
Yeah, I think that feud with Randy Orton is something that is going to happen. The writing's on the wall. Randy Orton was not on Raw last night, which is surprising because, you know, he's a gigantic star in the WWE universe. So I guess we'll have to just wait to see what happens in SmackDown. And if you're listening, make sure you tune in to SmackDown Rundown. This coming weekend, it'll be Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, hosted by Seth Gutwrench. It's usually on Saturday afternoon, but he's actually going to be meeting one of his all-time favorite wrestlers, Shawn Michaels, on Saturday afternoon. So I'm sure he'll talk about it this coming Sunday. So make sure you tune in to SmackDown Rundown if you don't watch SmackDown, or if you just want to hear some insightful commentary on the show from Seth and his crew from WrestleEnigma.com. Definitely tune in right here on blogtalkradio.com/ProWrestlingPowerHouse this coming Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's SmackDown Rundown, and now we're heading in to the main event of Raw, which featured the WWE Tag Team Champions of Team Hell No, Kane and Daniel Bryan, versus CM Punk and the Money in the Bank briefcase holder, Dolph Ziggler. As you stated earlier, Will, they booked this match in the beginning of the show, so there was intrigue throughout, there was build throughout. People had to wait to see this fantastic first-ever matchup, and I thought it was great. It was very entertaining. There was a lot of twists and turns. AJ, the referee, and let me tell you what, AJ, when she got on her hands and knees to count the three, you know, I don't want to sound like Uncle Bad Touch over here, but goddamn, that's all I got to say. She looked hot. But this match was fantastic. Daniel Bryan and Kane pick up the win after Paul Heyman gets ejected. Vicky Guerrero gets ejected. Dolph Ziggler follows Vicky, leaves CM Punk by himself. Kane with the choke slam. Team Hell No ends up on top again at the end of a WWE show. This match is intriguing. I mean, it's obvious that WWE is happy with Kane and Daniel Bryan right now. What do you think the future holds? I mean, we've talked about this a lot in the past. There's shenanigans, and there's all kinds of vignettes that are pre-taped. But tonight, or last night, I should say, was about wrestling. And we saw how they can handle themselves in the ring with the WWE champion. It's building the team. What do you think about this team in the future, Will?
All I got to say is all I need is Vicky Guerrero, AJ Lee, and my wonderful girlfriend Tara next to me, and I'll be happy. That's all I got to say. Then I'd be a happy man.
You're happy with Vicky Guerrero? Are you in the Vicky Guerrero world?
I like older chicks. What can I say?
You're liking the cougarness, of Vicky Guerrero?
Hell yes, I am. I like all cougars, man. I'm a cougar kind of guy.
I'll tell you what, I talked about a little bit last time. My friend Vicky Guerrero, since she's gotten a personal trainer, she is definitely looking a lot better.
She's smoking, man. If you people don't, she is smoking. I don't care what you say. From what she used to look like to what she looks like now, I mean, come on. Come on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Will Zafidas thinks that Vicky Guerrero is smoking. If you would like to talk about this, please call in the 760-888-5749. Will just dropped a bombshell. He thinks Vicky Guerrero is smoking hot. Do you think she is? I wouldn't go that far. You know, she's definitely looking better.
You lie. You lie.
I think her character really adds to Dolph Ziggler. This is something that people have been talking about on the internet forums, on Facebook, on Twitter, is that Dolph Ziggler needs to take that microphone on his own and really go with it. I actually disagree. It's obvious WWE does not see the microphone skills in Dolph Ziggler. And there's rumors that were circulating about Ric Flair possibly coming in to be his mouthpiece at some point in time. What do you think about this topic, Will? Should Vicky Guerrero stick with Dolph Ziggler in the future?
For right now, yes, because Dolph Ziggler would probably get cheers if she was not there. So I think that's why they're doing it. I think he could bump her right after getting the World Heavyweight title, but Vicky's always going to be a heel. She'll never, ever be a face manager. You know, we don't have any managers in WWE right now. She's the only one. So I think that it needs to be there. And I do like it. It's a great introduction for him. She puts him over big time. You know, so I love it. I think that it was great, and it was ironic because I think Dolph Ziggler walked away, and I think CM Punk walked away from another match, I think, a couple weeks ago. And this time Dolph Ziggler walked away from the match because Vicky got thrown out, and it put CM Punk in, you know, the predicament he was in.
I think this may be it's a great point, Will. I think this maybe leads to another singles match between these two. It could be the main event next week on Raw or a main event of 1 to 3 hours where they bring that exact point up where, you know, each man ditched each other during a tag team match. So I think that could be something that could take place. It would be something where they book it ahead of time. That's fantastic. Whenever WWE does something like that, it is great. So that's Monday Night Raw. I thought it was a decent show. Wasn't great. There were some things that were a little bit perplexing in my mind, but as I said, it had a low rating. I think it was like the lowest rating Raw has done in 15 years or so, a 2.5. It's pretty abysmal. But as you said, John Cena was not on the show, and hopefully Raw just goes in the right direction. Now, I want to talk a little bit about John Cena, and I want to get into this cancer, Rise Above Cancer controversy with the Susan G. Komen for the Cure Foundation. I'm a big supporter of this entire movement by WWE. We talked about this last week on iTunes, and I think that WWE is doing the right thing. There's nothing negative or conspiracy about this whatsoever. John Cena talked about in a video on WWE.com how his brother was affected by cancer, and early detection is the only reason he's alive right now. You need to go out. You need to get your blood tested on, you know, a regular basis, every 6 months, every year, something along those lines, because early detection is the only way to truly beat cancer. And that's why John Cena is doing this. That's why he's taking this head on. You know, he's not getting money from these merchandise sales. It's not going into his pocket. It is going to the Foundation for the Cure. Every dollar counts. Every bit of awareness counts. The NFL, every fucking player is wearing pink.
Everybody's wearing. Every sport has it. You know, every sport has it right now.
Exactly. And just because John Cena is the only guy to be decked out in pink from head to toe on his merchandise doesn't mean a fucking thing. There is no conspiracy. I wrote an article on this last Tuesday on Bleacher Report, which for some reason they fucking buried right away. It's only got about 5,000 reads. But there are actually people out there that believe there's a big conspiracy going on. So I do not get it. I don't know if it's your hatred for Cena I don't know if it's your hatred for WWE and thinking everything that Vince McMahon does is evil, but it's absolute bullshit. They're trying to do something that is good. It's good public relations for one, and that's always good. No matter what business you're in, you want your public relations to be top-notch. But it's also fucking charitable. WWE has always done charities. Just because they didn't put fucking Hulk Hogan in pink tights back in 1985 doesn't mean shit. They're doing something different. They fed overseas countries back in the 90s. They had these shows where all the proceeds went to feeding the people that don't have as much, that are poor. And they do tribute to the troops every year. They are a company that is charitable, that tries to give back to the people. So this is a subject that's really pissing me off. Maybe I'm the only one that's pissed about it. I don't know. What about you, Will? Do you have convictions about this?
I mean, if you're hot, clean it hot.
Yeah, I think that...
I mean, you're hot, right? I mean, you're hot.
Yeah, I'm pissed right now. I don't think these fans, you're watching WWE.
We've already talked about this in plenty of time. I don't know how much more of a message we need to send to anybody. This is, you know, and it's going to end in the next month, just like when we have Black History Month or any other diseases we're fighting, you know. I mean, my girlfriend's got RSD. She's got a nerve disorder, you know, and if there's an RSD month, you know, we celebrate RSD month. And you know, this is just the way, you know, it is, and they're just trying to do something nice, and people backlash on it. And that's just the way it's always going to be. You know, there's always going to be those haters out there. There's always going to be those marks. No one's a fan of everything, you know. So, you know, people wanted to say, well, why didn't we stop Raw when Jerry Lawler had his heart attack, you know? I mean, well, duh, why didn't they? Because he didn't die. And two, you know, they still have a show to run, you know. So there's always going to be those haters. It's never going to stop. You know, you can say what you want, Jay, but, you know, if those people don't have anybody with that kind of condition, they just don't understand, and that's most people's. That's how it is most of the time.
If you want to read what I wrote about this, you can always go to prowrestlingpowerhouse.com. The article is up on prowrestlingpowerhouse.com. You can go to Bleacher Report. You can read on it. There's 40-plus comments, people on both sides of the fence on this. I think it's a topic that needs to be talked about because I know I'm just talking to the voiceless right now or the people that aren't fucking don't give a shit, that don't pay attention or whatever, but this is a good thing WWE is doing. There should be nothing negative. There should be no negative press about this whatsoever. So that's my take on that. We are going to go into overtime tonight, folks, on iTunes, which you can download immediately after the show ends. Definitely go over to iTunes, subscribe. Just click that subscribe button, and it will automatically download onto your computer. And you can listen anytime on your iPod, on your iPhone, on any of your devices. So we are going to go into overtime, and we're going to be talking about TNA Wrestling, which I like to call lately a glorified fucking warehouse down in Orlando, Florida, because what they've been doing, in my mind, has been absolutely putrid and pathetic. So I want to bring in our TNA analyst for ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. His name is Matt Touch of Grey Gratian. He did not write an article this week. It looks like we've lost Matt Gratian. So, Matt, if you're listening, please call back at any moment. But we're going to dive right into last week's Impact. And let's talk about this, Will. You told me earlier on in the week that you wanted to talk about what took place on Impact. So you have the floor, my friend.
Well, the first thing I wanted to talk about was to the fans who listened to the iTunes show. I made this announcement. If you would like to hear our thoughts on Bound for Glory, I am actually going to be hosting the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse PWP pay-per-view recap. So if you fans want to, at the end of Bound for Glory at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for 1 hour, we are going to discuss Bound for Glory, the biggest pay-per-view for TNA Impact Wrestling. So if you fans want to call in about what you saw, what you listened to, if you liked it, you didn't like it, please definitely call in on that night for Bound for Glory. That's a big announcement, ladies and gentlemen. Please put it on your calendars.
Absolutely. Definitely put it on your calendars. Definitely listen. But it looks like we've got Touch of Grey, Matt Gratian, back on the air with us. Matt, welcome to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. and he's dropped again. I don't know what's going on with Matt. I think we have some technical issues.
He needs to get
issues.
An iPhone. That's what he needs to get.
Yeah, possibly. I just keep hitting the button to put him on the air, and it just consistently knocks him off.
That's
so,
disrespectful. He just likes to hang up on you. That's all it is. But
yeah,
now
maybe.
We can talk a little bit about I was very upset with one thing in particular kind of put a bad taste in my mouth, and I talked about this when it happened the first time, when it was James Storm versus Bobby Roode or Robert Roode, and they had a kind of like an open fight night, and they had a street fight. So I was already upset because they were giving that away for free. And then we find out this week they're going to be in a street fight again, this time on the pay-per-view. But I just saw it 2 weeks ago. And on top of that, Kamo is now the special guest referee for that match. And that match did not need a special guest referee. You know, I just don't understand that. That's what kind of put me off to the show, is that they gave away the match for free, and now they're giving us the exact same match. The only difference is that Robert Roode's going to have this wrestling gear on. And there's a special guest rep. Does anybody think that makes any sense?
I sure as hell don't.
For me. It ruined that feud for me. Because I feel like I got the payoff. James Storm kicked his ass. You know, there's the payoff to me. It's like he beat him down. I mean, they walked out of the arena, so the match never ended. So I can say that there's no definite winner. You know, that's what Kimo is going to be kind of there to do, to have a definite winner. But they kind of gave it away for free. So I'm very upset with the way TNA is booking that. They're booking like one or two things right, but they're not booking this one right. And it's a year-long feud. They gave away for free.
No, you're correct, man. Well, yeah, exactly, Will. And I just want to tell you that on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, there's an article up right now on the main page that our good friend and our Team PWP member, John Dimaselli, wrote. He couldn't join us tonight on the show, unfortunately. But he wrote a great article on this subject. Bobby Roode. It's right there. It's right there. It's a great article. Definitely go check it out. Read it. Comment on it, whether you do it on Facebook or on the actual page. Bobby Roode and James Storm is a complex feud that's been going on for a year. They were the tag team champions. Beer Money was very, very, very successful as a tag team. But this part of it is just not making any fucking sense, man. The build-up towards this match at Bound for Glory has just been bothering me. But right now, it looks like we have a phone call here on PWP Radio, 347 area code. You're on the air with PWP Radio. We've got about 2 minutes left. What's your name and where are you from?
Hey, Jay. It's John. What's going on, man?
Hey, John. What's happening, man? We got a little less than 2 minutes left. If you want to stay with us for the overtime, we're talking about TNA. We're actually talking about your article. So if you want to talk about it for a couple of seconds before we go into overtime, yeah, go right for it. Talk a little bit about your article.
Where were you
wrote.
With it? Where were you with the article?
I was just plugging it. I was giving a plug. I was telling people to go read it. If you want to tell the audience a little bit about it, go right ahead.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, I wrote the article about, you know, how the James Storm, Bobby Roode storyline and feud has pretty much gone from a surefire moneymaker for Bound for Glory to basically now a third end joke.
No,
and
hey,
there
you go. That's it.
You know, I mean,
go ahead, John.
I tried to timeline it, you know, from start to finish, and it's true. You know, I mean, I nailed all the facts with what this has been and where it's gone, and you know how for about 8 months they did a great job of, you know, keeping it where it needed to be, and then all of a sudden in the summer, someone, you know, brother, decided that this thing wasn't going to make any money at the biggest show of the year.
And that was the wrong move, the absolutely wrong move. But we've got about 40 seconds left, and I just want to tell the live audience that you can listen to the rest of the show on iTunes whenever you want. You know, it'll be – listen to it tomorrow. You know, click that subscribe button. Definitely rate us. Definitely comment on us, please, and get us ranked higher on iTunes. We definitely need the help. Definitely need the support here at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Make sure you visit us on Facebook at Facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse. on Twitter at PW Powerhouse. I will talk with you all day long on Twitter. So this is the end of the live show, folks. For Will and John, thank you for listening, and join us on iTunes tomorrow.
Keep it real.
Later.
All right, folks. We're right here on iTunes Overtime, and we're just going
to
keep it going.
Keep it real.
I'm going to say keep it real at the very end.
That was the very end for our live audience.
Well, I'll give you the keep it real later on. I may have missed that line, but we were going against the clock there for the live show. But let's continue talking about Bobby Roode and James Storm while we're on it. That street fight they did on Open Fight Night was a waste of time. They didn't even really build the feud last week on Impact at all. You know, Bobby Roode was involved in a tag team match. James Storm didn't even wrestle. He just had a little bit of promo time. So, I mean, we're kind of getting the gist of it, that they had this booked as a co-main event. It should have been a gigantic match on the card, but now it's falling below this putrid storyline with Aces and Eights. So any other comments, Will, on what's going on with James Storm and Bobby Roode?
Well, I think I pretty much said what I needed to say. I think it's just they really should have held off on these guys not touching each other, you know, not fighting each other ahead of time. I understand it was Open Fight Night and we called them out, but Bobby Roode could have easily walked away and, you know, as the heel character, because he doesn't want to get involved, but he didn't, and it really did ruin, I think, what could have been a potentially good, you know, real big match between those two guys, something I would have paid for to see. And I just think it's kind of lost its edge.
How about it, John? Any last comments on, you know, your article on Bobby Roode and James Storm?
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree with Will 110%. And also one thing I forgot to put in my article, which I would have done with the Open Fight Night, I mean, how bad of a spot would this would have been for Matt Morgan to pop in as a guy that Roode, you know, I understand the whole concept of Open Fight Night. Why not have Roode bring Morgan back at that point, or anybody to be like, I'm not going to fight you, but you know what? I mean, this was a guy who was supposed to be like a modern-day million-dollar man, you know, originally with the Robert Roode gimmick. Have him turn around and be like, I'm not going to fight you. I got someone who is. Heck, even bring Crimson back from OVW. You know, you cost this guy his undefeated streak. Fight him. It would have kept them apart physically. It's just, it's a shame where it's gone. And you know what? No matter what they do, and it's not going to be what it should have been. And the fact that of all the matches on Bound for Glory you could have put King Mo on, you got to put him on this. You know this is going to end with Mo laying out Roode. So it may even cheapen Storm's win over him.
Yeah, it's definitely taken a sad turn. I feel like this match could have been the actual main event of the show. It could have been the match on the card. You didn't really need Jeff Hardy and Austin Aries to headline it. You could have had this match be the headliner. But Falls Count Anywhere stipulation, King Mo's involvement, it's becoming just another gimmick match, and that sucks to see. I don't know whose idea this was, but I think we are all in agreement that it is a poor idea. So moving right along from Bobby Roode and James Storm, the opening segment involved our old friend Hulk Hogan, brother, coming to the ring, hobbling to the ring with what looked like a wiffle bat that was spray-painted black. He stole Sting's gimmick once again, obviously. I love Hulk Hogan, but I just have to rip him at this point because what he's doing is so antiquated and outdated. So he stole Sting's gimmick, walks down with a vet, and this leads to Sting making his return to Impact, and they say that they are rolling to the Aces and Eights clubhouse together. This had bad news written all over it when I heard what was going to take place. So, Will, what are your thoughts on the opening segment of Impact?
Well, he's been carrying a bat for a while, so I'm not too concerned about the bat. He's been carrying that for a while. So, you know, Sting coming out was a surprise. So Sting was good. But, yeah, I mean, it's typical, like, they're going to go to the clubhouse and they're going to attack him and, you know, or do whatever they're going to do to get just a parse back. You know, and he was stating, you know, I mean, that's just it. I mean, they were stating a couple things about Bound for Glory, too, so there was some use out of the segment. So, yeah, there you go. That's it.
How about you, John?
I actually like the Sting part of the segment. I think I said it to you last week with Sting been in all this because this kind of started with him. So I was glad to see Sting come back. Hogan's stick, I mean, it's getting a little repetitive every week, you know. Like I said, I still find it crazy that him and who's ever in charge of Aces and Ace, they call each other on the phone. Like, it's just, it's broken down into just sure, you know, almost like comical at this point.
Yeah, what really bothers me about this entire angle is Joseph Parks, or it's actually Joseph Park, but fucking Hulk Hogan keeps, I call him Hulk Hogan because that's what they're doing TNA too. Hulk Hogan keeps calling him Parks, and I don't fucking understand. Why the hell are they calling him Parks? It's little things like that that drive me nuts about TNA. Shouldn't somebody say, hey, Hulk, brother, it's Park. We've built it up as Joe Park for months and months and months, and now all of a sudden he's Joe Parks? What the fuck? And also, he's been kidnapped for a week. This guy has been kidnapped for a week. What is the least bit believable about this angle? I know it's the TNA, Impact Zone, Universe, whatever the fuck you want to call it, but there's this angle is just unbelievable. And while we're on it, let's talk about what happened later in the show when Hogan and Sting get kidnapped by Aces and Eights. I thought it was a good touch when, you know, this hot chick sprayed the mace and Hogan and Sting's eyes, and then they kidnapped him. But first of all, where the fuck did this van come from? Where did this van just came out of nowhere, just appeared? And where did, you know, it just made no fucking sense. Like, Hulk Hogan and Sting, two of the biggest wrestling stars of all time, get abducted by this group, but nobody else in the show gives a fuck besides Mike Tenay and Taz. What the hell? I just didn't get it. It really pissed me off, and especially what happened thereafter. But before we talk about what happened actually inside the clubhouse, Will, what are your thoughts on Sting and Hogan getting kidnapped by Aces and Eights?
You know, I think the right thing to do would be to call the cops. This is kind of a pretty serious situation, don't you think?
No, absolutely. It's absolutely serious. And to not even have, you know, of course, cops, but to not have security or Dixie Carter freaking out or Brooke Hogan freaking out or anybody going absolutely crazy about the fact that two of the biggest stars in professional wrestling history have just been kidnapped is absolutely ludicrous.
It's actually just funny the way you keep saying it because it sounds ridiculous. But, yeah, I mean, what I didn't like about that was they're not even supposed to be there at Impact. I got feedback there. Do you got feedback?
Okay. No, I don't hear any feedback.
Okay, so I'm hearing voices in my head, I guess.
That was my TV. I walked into the kitchen to get something to drink, and Amanda's watching some Amish bullshit reality show. I don't know what it is.
That's actually a good show. It's actually a pretty good show. I know it's one she's watching.
Okay, so, it's a good show.
I'll take those comments back. Just to let you know. a little weird that they're barred from the arena, and that a woman sprayed them, which I thought was a pretty cool idea. I did like that, but then the HCH were in the arena. They're not supposed to be there. They're supposed to be barred. So that was already suspending reality. I didn't mind them capturing them, but they should have done it like somewhere outside the actual stadium, and then like the van would have rolled up and got them or something like that. That would have made more sense instead of it just being there. So while no one had any rush or regard for Hulk Hogan, the general manager, and Sting, the first Hall of Famer, getting captured. So, you know, I guess they don't care that much.
So what about you, John? What do you think about this abduction of Sting and Hogan?
I thought the woman spraying them and the guys being there to abduct them was actually okay because of the fact that they told Hogan it could be anyone at any time. That I didn't have a problem with that, especially happening in the arena, because they kind of alluded to that a couple of weeks ago. That's fine. I guess now we know that Aces and Eights are the guys that abducted Samoa Joe a couple of years ago and have the same white van that the Libyans used to kill Doc in Back to the Future. but, I mean, the abduction...
Remember that now, that happened. Yes, the van. I remember that with Samoa Joe.
Yeah, I mean...
But there was no end to that
thing,
either.
No, there wasn't. The abduction thing... The attempted murder on Joseph Park last week with the hammer. I mean, I know Florida is a pretty liberal state, but at what point, you know, is this getting borderline criminal?
Yeah, it's absolutely.
Think of the 2000 election.
They are just they they're just killing the, I guess, the intelligence of the audience. They don't think the audience has any intelligence whatsoever. Why? I just, you know, let's talk about now what happened inside the clubhouse with Hogan and Sting sitting there, and the leader, supposedly of Ace and Apes, is sitting there with his back turned and talking with this gimmick. But let me tell you, man, you didn't fool me. I've been listening to this motherfucker for the last 20 years of my life. This was definitely Eric Bischoff talking. You cannot tell me any different. Whether he's the leader or not, that remains to be seen. But this was Eric Bischoff talking. No question about it. Will, how about you? Did you think this was Eric Bischoff talking?
Well, right now I really don't care who the leader is right now, because I mean a lot of people are trying to figure it out. But I think it was good that his head was turned and that they didn't want Hogan and Sting to fight anybody at the show. You know, I did like the segment where they were talking about, you know, what to do and how to go on their terms. So I did like it. So actually, I did like that segment. So I just think that, you know, well, I was okay with it. Let's just say that. I was intrigued to find out what their demands were and what they wanted to do. You know, so that, those things I'm intrigued about. You know, because it's wrestling. I got to suspend reality. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree, but you have to suspend a lot of reality in this segment, because, you know, Aces and Eights, now they're not going to come to the Impact Zone if Hogan and Sting's team win this match. They shouldn't be in the Impact Zone anyway. They shouldn't have any access whatsoever. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, why would you put this stipulation on the line? To me, it just lacks any kind of logic. What do you think about this whole thing, John?
I'm with you 100%. It's Bischoff. Whether or not Bischoff's the leader, I think they still could go a couple of different ways. Bischoff would probably make a good vocal, you know, talking guy. That's fine. Here's the thing that gets me with this, though. Hogan's history with Bischoff. As long as Sting was in WCW with Bischoff, when this gets revealed to be Bischoff, what's going to be so just terrible about this is the look of shock that they're both going to have on their faces. And that's going to be like, really? You know, with the amount of history that you guys have had with this guy, you don't know that that's how he talks? The stipulations, you know, exactly, are a little repetitive. You win, we're gone. Well, you're technically gone now. I like the Joseph Park. We're going to keep him. It kind of plays more into my idea that maybe Abyss will be with Aces and Eights and Joseph Park will be with TNA. I'm kind of hoping that's where that goes rather than just a straight-up hostage situation. And, I mean, I know WWE does it all the time, but what's the point of this match when you've released the poster for your next pay-per-view and it's built around Aces and Eights already? So, obviously, they're winning.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty obvious. I mean, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, they're not going to have the storyline end.
No, I mean, obviously they were going to win anyway, but I mean, for anyone that maybe isn't as, you know, obvious with it, you just went and ruined it for them anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm looking at this angle and I'm saying, okay, there's going to be a tag team match at Bound for Glory. They should blow the angle off because it's been going on forever. But then I look at the card and I see, you know, all the big stars involved already in different matches. And it just makes me wonder who Hogan and Sting are going to pick to be on Team TNA in this match. And I believe it's just a standard tag team match, 2-on-2. But who do you guys think, and I'll start with you, Will, who do you think is going to represent TNA in this match?
I would not be surprised if they get, like, a Jeff Jarrett, or if they get you know, maybe Matt Morgan will come back, you know, something like that. You know, I'm not sure. You know, there's not that many guys to choose from that are convincing, let's say, that they could beat those Aces and Eights guys. You know, all the guys that have been kind of involved, the only one I could really think of is Bully Ray, honestly. But he's not even near the storyline, so I really don't know. It's if they pick two guys that are not strong enough, like an Eric Young, or, like, you know, they pick, like, a Magnus, or if Samoa Joe doesn't have a match, because right now, you know, even though he won the TV title, he doesn't have a match, he could pick Joe and Anderson or something like that.
Yeah, I think
Or even
I think
Garrett
Anderson.
Bischoff. I hate to say that, but I am saying Garrett Bischoff, too.
I think if it's Garrett Bischoff, you will see a heel turn, because if you watch that show closely, during the TV title segment, when they picked Samoa Joe and Mr. Anderson.
I was going to go there.
Yeah, he was pissed. And
he
was pissed off. And that's typical.
That was a pissed off kid.
Yeah, it's typical booking 101. You look at Garrett Bischoff and you just look at his facial expressions. You know he's a rookie. So he really doesn't get it 100%.
Hold on real quick.
So he doesn't really get it 100% yet, but he kind of made it obvious that he is pissed off. We found out that Eric Bischoff is the guy talking. That's fucking obvious. So he's definitely going to be involved in this angle somehow. Go right ahead, Will.
Well, what I was going to say was it wasn't really Bischoff's look. I think it was the camera angle to his look. It was because you can hear them talking about Joe, but you can see the camera's kind of focusing on Bischoff as he walks away. So that's why it was convincing. It wasn't really his look. It was just kind of what the camera angle looked like for me, at least for me anyway. That's coming from a TV background.
What do you think, John? You mentioned that you were going to go there with Garrett Bischoff. What's your thought on that?
Yeah. Well, to get back to the partner thing, when Sting said, I'm going to go get him to end that show, I think it's going to be Jarrett. I think that's who they're going to get with the preference being that, listen, this was your company, you built it, blah, blah, blah. That's where Jarrett, and Jarrett will turn. That's how Aces and Eights will go over here. I believe that. The Garrett Bischoff thing, I was going to bring that up because I didn't know if I was the only one that caught that. That when Hogan told him, now's not your time, I didn't catch the camera angle like Will said, but just like his overall demeanor and his response to that, I was like, you know what, this kid's turning. It's a done deal. And you know what, the Impact Zone crowd hates him anyway. So why not turn him? Let him generate heat. I think it's going to be Sting and Jarrett against two guys of Aces and Eights. Jarrett will turn, and some masks will come off, and who knows who the other two guys on their end will be. I mean, one of the guys will probably be Luke Gallows, I think, because he's signed, but I have no clue who the other guy could be. Maybe, that's where they roll out Abyss. Maybe Bully Ray. I mean, Bully Ray's in that weird spot right now where it's like he's either going to go to the Aces and Eights angle, or I'm still waiting for him to get thrown in the world title match.
And Bully Ray kind of has that gimmick already. I mean, you could just turn him into a biker immediately. Like, he's got that look going for him with his attire and everything. So he doesn't seem to have a match on the card. If it was up to me, I'd book him against Samoa Joe for the TNA television title. Maybe it's a step down because he's been involved in the world title hunt. But I think I would somehow try to build that match because it would be fucking cool.
That's the type of match that would work, especially if you're going to turn him in the later angle with Aces and Eights, because you could put that match on early. It's classic. You put it on early, he loses, whatever, and then comes out later in the show and does something a million times bigger, and in the process put Joe's TV title run over, in the process.
Yeah, there are many different angles they can go with Aces and Eights. All we know is it won't end at Bound for Glory. But they definitely need to reveal somebody. We have to figure out an involvement. They have to kind of shock us somehow to get, us back involved emotionally in this story. Because in the beginning, I know I can speak for you guys on this, everybody was intrigued by it. It was cool. It was a little bit different. It was kind of Nexus-like in the beginning because they were just coming out and beating people down. But definitely different. So we liked it. Now most of us are starting to not like it as much. They need to do something to get our interest back into it.
The cool thing in the beginning of it was they attacked Sting the night after Slammiversary. Then, if I remember right, I don't think you heard from them for a couple of weeks. And then they went after Hogan.
I think they were back the next week. Yeah, I think the next week they were back. And they attacked, who the fuck was it? Will, do you remember who Ace and Ace
when
attacked?
When did they attack Hogan?
They attacked Hogan, I think. Go ahead, Will.
I don't remember them attacking Hogan, but I know I don't think Hogan's involved. So I just think that there's no way Hogan's involved with this.
Hogan, and Sting was there, so Sting was back already when they attacked Hogan.
And also Hogan was part of the big attack where they were attacking all the Aces and Apes guys.
Yeah, but they ran roughshod over the roster for a while there. They attacked the gut check guy. They tried to attack Brooke Hogan, but I'm not sure who they attacked the second week. They might not have attacked anybody. My memory's not good anymore.
No, what they did? I'll tell you exactly what they did the second week. I can't remember what I had for lunch today, but it's scary that I remember this. they had the segment where Hogan was in a meeting and one guy came in and brought him the card. And then I think either that might have been the week they went after Brooke or the week they went after Hogan when they left Hogan bleeding in his office, because Sting was in the ring when that happened.
Right, that's correct.
So there might have been a week or two in between.
Hogan was busted open in his office. He is right.
Well, there it is. There's our answer. So, ace and ace. We'll see what happens. Now we're going to just talk a little bit more about TNA's show last week, which I wasn't too fond of. This is 2 weeks in a row where they kind of had a miss, in my opinion. Let's talk about Angle, Chavo, and Christopher Daniels in a three-way match. It's kind of a predecessor to their three-way tag team title match that's taking place at Bound for Glory. And I guarantee you next week on Impact, or this week, I should say, it'll be AJ versus Hernandez versus Kaz, you know. But Christopher Daniels took the win. The ending was kind of sloppy. If you remember correctly, it was just like a roll-up type thing with Daniels getting a cheap win over Angle. But I want to hear your guys' thoughts, and I'll kick it to you, Will. What are your thoughts on the TNA Tag Team Championships right now?
I like where they are. I like that, you know, they got the cheap win, you know, obviously because Chavo and Kurt were kind of like double teaming on Daniels, and, you know, that didn't go the way they wanted it. So I do like this tag team feud. That's the one thing about Impact I do like right now is this tag team feud, because they keep complaining to Hogan about how things are unfair for them. And, you know, it's just a great tag team, I think, of those guys. And this is the one thing I do like about Impact is that this is a good tag team feud, I think, between these. I always like seeing three-way tag team matches because you don't see them too often, and they're kind of special when they happen.
How about you, John? What are your thoughts on the tag team title builder?
Yeah, I actually have no problem with it. I'm in agreement with you. You'll see the opposite three-way this week. It would probably make the most sense to have Hernandez win it, just to give him and Chavo a little momentum going into this thing. You know, AJ and Angle, Daniels and Kazarian, they have enough going on. I would give Hernandez and Chavo a little build going into it. I might be in the minority here, but I think the best thing for that division will be Hernandez and Chavo to win, because then you'll have a strong heel team chasing them and potentially a strong face team chasing them, because I never thought I'd say this anytime soon. There's not much else left in that tag team division in TNA.
Nah, there's really not. I don't see Angle and AJ winning because these guys are singles competitors at heart, and they need to be involved at the top of the card, showing what they can do in the singles division. Not saying they're a bad tag team. I think they're actually a good tag team together, but they've been feuding with each other on and off for years. I think you just have to separate these guys once and for all. Just keep them away from each other. Go ahead.
I think the best thing to do is to call me up and my tag partner and the Inner Circle when the tag team titles for TNA. I think that's the best thing we can do.
All right,
there you go.
Brother Love, did you hear that? TLD is down to go to TNA, and he wants a shot at the TNA tag team title. So,
I only have to work once a week, so if that's all that, I'll go down.
That's exclusive news right here on PWP Radio, folks. TLD would like to go down to Orlando. You know, exclusive right here. But moving along, we got a big fat no to Evan Markopoulos on Gut Check. I don't think it was really too much of a surprise. Yeah, I don't think it was as bad as you were. It wasn't too much of a surprise to me. But I thought the kid, my thinking was the kid's 18 years old. He, to me, is like a first-round pick in regular sports, baseball, basketball, whatever, where you can develop him over time. You could throw him into OVW, pay him the $250, $300 a week, whatever you make down there, and kind of develop him into a future star, get some meat on his bones, teach him how to train properly, and, you know, maybe you got a bright star of the future. But I guess they're hoping that he goes and does it on his own. Hey, John, what do you think about the Gut Check Challenge and the judges overall saying no to Evan Markopoulos?
I think it's a mistake. You and I talked about this last week. You lock this kid up, keep him down there for a couple of years. He'll be 21, 22. You could bring him up, do something with him then. You know, Gut Check, though, to me, it keeps circling back to Al Snow, Joey Ryan, and it's like, let's just get this over with already so we can actually have this try to be a legitimate segment once again like it was in the beginning. It just seems like now they're telling all these guys no, and I won't be surprised if Ryan shows up with all the people that they said no, and I don't know if it will turn into anything as far as like a group goes, but I could see that being his battle cry when this match with Al Snow happens, and maybe one of them helping Ryan beat Snow, I guess, at Bound for Glory when the match happens.
What about you, Will? What are your thoughts on Evan Markopoulos getting the big fat N.O.?
Well, he's Greek, so he should have definitely gotten it. All right, so that's all I got to say to that. I mean, he's damn it, he's Greek. Yeah, I mean, I think he has the potential, but honestly, if you really watch the match, he really didn't get too much offense in, so I really can't say that. I mean, he definitely got the crowd into it, which is good, but I really couldn't say that he was definitely a guy because he didn't get too much offense in his match. So to be honest, I really can't judge him that well. You know, so that was the only problem with this match. But yeah, I think this centers around Joey Ryan right now, and I'm very surprised he wasn't involved this week. And because I would think they were going to have a match with Al Snow versus Joey Ryan at Bound for Glory. I thought that was really the route they're going. I think they still might, but they're kind of running out of time. So that was another fail on Impact that Joey Ryan was not there. If in fact they're going to have that match. So,
well, they are having that match. They've been alluding
they
to that week.
They didn't mention it, but I've given up on the whole this whole gut check thing. I don't really care too much about it anymore because I couldn't even tell you the first name of the person that won it. The only person I care about is the one that Joey Ryan, because of his influence he's had, you know, kind of coming out of the crowd. But I really could care less about that check, I'll be honest. No, I don't see these guys again.
They need to really take a guy from the independent scene who has made a bang that a lot of people know of, that there's awareness, maybe somebody
right,
from Ring of Honor.
That would bring it back for me.
You need somebody legit. You need to get a guy that's legit. Well, or listen to this one. Or even take it to another level. I mean, you already had the knockout with Taylor Hendricks. She was able to get to yes, and she's in OVW training. But I would maybe have a tag team. Maybe bring up a tag team, put them in the gut check. Like, I know the Briscoe brothers are signed to Ring of Honor, but a tag team like that, the Briscoes, there are a lot of strong tag teams
out on the independent team.
You know, hey, how about this? Fucking Masha Thrasher, the Headbangers, they're making a comeback. How about putting them on the show? You know, whatever. Whatever you want to do, I think they need to take it into a different direction and kind of
According to Hogan, weren't John Morrison and Chris Masters dying to get into gut check? I mean, so much
Jesus,
of that.
Yeah. John Morrison getting into gut check, that would be an absolute joke because he doesn't need a gut check. If they can sign John Morrison, they will sign him immediately and put him in whatever's left of the X Division, and that's what I want to talk about next, the X Division. And we seem to talk about this every week, but I want to follow up. Absolutely nothing happened with the X Division. So moving on. Let's go on to the main event of the night. We had Austin Aries and Jeff Hardy taking on the tag team of Bully Ray and Bobby Roode. This match just is building the Austin Aries-Hardy feud. It's your typical, you know, two guys facing each other who are baby faces at the big show, tag teaming before the show. So, Will, what were your thoughts on this match and the build towards Aries versus Hardy?
I don't want Aries to be a heel. So I kind of, I don't know. This is not for me. I mean, is this really the selling point for Bound for Glory this year? I mean, I went last year to the Kurt Angle versus, you know, Bobby Roode. And, you know, how disappointed was I last year? Obviously, everyone was kind of disappointed what happened last year. Well, not me, because I won Battle of the Will, so I was pretty happy about that. But otherwise, you know, I really hope we don't see a true heel turn, you know, between Aries and Jeff Hardy. I want someone to actually cleanly win. This is like WrestleMania. So, you know, I remember 2 years ago with the whole Jeff Hardy screw job thing. I mean, that happened 2 years ago. I don't know. So I'm not sold on this yet. I have to give it another week or two.
How about you, John?
Well, you know where I stand with this. I hate the fact that Aries is going to be forced to go heel here. He was working heel as on the house shows last weekend. And the other thing in this, too, is you got Hardy coming up on a contract in February. They're going to do everything in their power to keep him, even if that means a title run. I hate to say it. I'm not going to be surprised if Aries belt shots him either this week or next week and completes the turn. I'm not really captivated into this whole story with them, and I said that from the start. I think I said that on my video blog, that after Hardy beat Bully Ray, TNA had to start telling me a story that was going to make me really buy into this match, like last year with Angle and Rude, and even two years ago with the world title, and there is nothing for this match, and it just seems like another match on the card, to be honest with you. I mean, Aries and Hardy, they're going to work their asses off. It's going to be phenomenal. But it doesn't seem like the main event of their WrestleMania.
Yeah, I agree with you guys, man. Like, Jeff Hardy, the reason he's on top of this card, and I've said it in the past, and I'm going to repeat myself again, is because they need a big mainstream name at the top of Down for Glory because they're going into uncharted waters in Arizona. But I personally feel that turning Austin Aries heel is the wrong move. They've done so much to make him a babyface. They've gotten the crowd so much behind him after his world title win against Bobby Roode. And he was a focal point in the Aces and Eights feud. Like, he should personally still be pissed off at Aces and Eights for attacking him. I guess they kind of blew it off when he wrestled the arm breaker at the last pay-per-view. But the fact of the matter remains that if you turn Austin Aries heel now, it could affect his heat in the future, especially if he loses the belt to Jeff Hardy. But right now, I want a prediction from you guys.
Jay,
I want a prediction.
Can I go somewhere real quick with this before you do that? I'm sorry for cutting you off, but
it's all right.
This is exactly where TNA fails. And you knew for months, almost since the beginning of the year, that Bound for Glory was going to be in Phoenix. It's like you said, it's uncharted territory for them. And, you know, maybe not a lot of people, as you said a couple weeks ago on this thing, know who Austin Aries is or buying into Austin Aries. This is where your main feud for the last year, Bobby Roode and James Storm, for the title, should have been the main event. This is just another example of why TNA fails. Just when you want to get behind them, they do something like this, and they're going to sacrifice Aries for this.
Yeah, it's a damn shame that they're doing this. It doesn't make any fucking sense, but I want predictions right now. I want to know, right here on iTunes, on PWP Radio, will TLD Vafitas, who do you think wins the main event at Bound for Glory? Is it Austin Aries retaining the championship or Jeff Hardy taking it away?
I think Jeff Hardy's got to win. I mean, this whole contract thing came about, and I was like, oh, boy, here we go. It's still hard to see. I don't think they're going to pull last year because they got so many bad reviews on it. So I think they're going to have Jeff Hardy win. I just can't imagine them doing what they did last year. Because I think people are going to want it. People are going to want Jeff Hardy to win.
How about you, John? What's your prediction on Jeff Hardy, Austin Aries? Who wins this big matchup?
Jeff Hardy either way. And what I mean by that is that if Jeff Hardy obviously wins the match, that probably means he got TNA to give him whatever he wants, and that includes the title run at the expense of Aries. If Jeff Hardy loses, that probably means he's not going to re-up with TNA, and whether it's re-teaming with Matt on the Independence that came out this week or Vince welcoming him back with open arms, Jeff Hardy will be worth a lot of money in February. And, if your contract expires in February, what's in April? WrestleMania. That's a hell of a nice payday. So either way, Jeff Hardy wins at Bound for Glory.
We're 3-for-3 on this, guys. Jeff Hardy defeats Austin Aries for the World Heavyweight Championship at Bound for Glory. It's the only way to really go, especially if you're turning Austin Aries into a heel on this build-up. If it was a babyface or a babyface match, maybe use Jeff Hardy to get Austin Aries higher up the card and more over. But at this point in time, Jeff Hardy, with the contract negotiations and whatnot, he can make a ton of money right now on the independent scene. He can go out there and do shoot interviews. He can go out there, team with Matt, across the country, maybe even, you know, make an appearance in Ring of Honor. They fucking hate him over there. But, you know, either way, or go back to Vince in WWE. He could be that big star that they could need heading into WrestleMania. There's a lot of ways they can go, a lot of intrigue, but I'm picking Jeff Hardy. I think Jeff Hardy wins at Bound for Glory. So this wraps up PWP Radio right here tonight on iTunes and earlier on Blog Talk Radio Live. I urge you folks to go to Facebook and join our community on the group. Go to facebook.com/groups/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. Talk to our community. We have over 400 members. We want you to join in on the conversation. Also, go to facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. Pictures and videos and different content and insight on wrestling go on that community page all day long, every day. And most importantly, visit ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com for all your latest needs in the wrestling business or a multimedia website. As Will knows, we're going to shoot a video show pretty soon. We're trying to get the cards together on that. It's taking a little longer than we thought, but eventually it will happen. We will have new, fresh topics on PWP TV coming soon. I'm also working on getting some merchandise for the fans. I'm talking T-shirts, buttons, hats, stickers, all kinds of PWP merchandise. This will happen in 2013. It's not going to happen yet, but down the road, we just plan on getting bigger, folks. So do anything you can. We're going to film right here, I guess, at the Jersey Shore. And what we're going to do is basically we're going to talk about big topics in the wrestling business. Like I said, we still don't have a starting date on that, but eventually it will take place. And I'll keep you updated on that, John. We'll try to figure it out.
All right, cool. Not too far from Brooklyn. So
no, absolutely not.
It's not a bad trip at all.
Yeah, hour and a half, 2 hours.
Speaking of Brooklyn, TLC will be in Brooklyn, by the way. So
yes, it will. My backyard.
Are you going, John?
My backyard.
Probably. Probably, yeah.
Have you seen that area yet? I'm sure you have. How nice is that area out there?
I work not too far from there. It's coming along really nice. From what it used to be about 5-6 years ago, it's coming along really nice. The arena's in a nice area. It's gonna be good. I know they had their first couple of shows this weekend, so it's gonna be a nice little thing for us over here.
I'm also thinking about heading out there for TLC, but I'm also saving for WrestleMania 29, saving up any money I can because I'm definitely going there no matter what.
Yeah,
but,
definitely. I think TLC tickets go on sale this Saturday. I think it's the 6th.
Yeah, absolutely, and that should be a good card as well. But also, I just want to finish up the end of the show here. Please follow us on Twitter at PW Powerhouse. Talk to me all fucking day on Twitter, you know. Join Team PWP if you have anything to add. If you want to be a writer, a podcaster, if you can make logos, banners, Photoshop, if you want to be a part of our social media team, please email me at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. I have a page specifically for, you know, the different types of ways you can join our team. We're only growing. We're only going up. So get on board with PWP right now. Now, to end the show tonight, I'm going to give you guys a special treat. I have a song done by the band that's lending us their music. They're called the Ocean Airs. Please visit them on Facebook at facebook.com/TheOceanAirsMusic. This song is called Dusty Dan. For Will Vasitas, John DiMaselli, and the rest of the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse team, keep it real and have yourself a great night.
Later.